build me a wonderland. 'Cause when you the tide came rushing in, took my poor castle out to the sea. If the ocean be that strong, well then, that's where I wanna be. When she reads,
WRCT Pittsburgh, the last bastion of pulchritude.
Mom and Dad used to argue about everything, especially about Dad's drinking. My family went from totally crazy to quiet, calm, and even peaceful when Mom started going to Al-Anon family groups. I wanted a better relationship with Dad, so I asked Mom if she would take me to her Al-Anon meetings or to Alateen. I'm sure glad I did. Is someone's drinking troubling you? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon or Alateen family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org.
WRCT Pittsburgh. Real vinyl.
My fellow Americans, I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
Well, COVID quarantine has been an extraordinary productive period for President Joe Biden. And I'm not kidding around. I mean, think back to when Donald Trump had COVID and he was stuck in a hospital, at one point receiving supplemental oxygen, sending lie-laced tweets at the time, going out and exposing his Secret Service detail to COVID when he made them drive him around the block in his SUV. I mean, just a pathetically, globally humiliating COVID period for Donald Trump. We can't even really call it COVID quarantine because he wasn't properly isolating. Joe Biden, on the other hand, we already knew had overseen and authorized the killing of Al-Qaeda terrorist Ayman al-Zawahiri. Legitimate questions about the legal framework for these killings. You know, I'm right there with you, but an accomplishment by international standards. An extraordinarily strong jobs report late last week, which we will get to later. But the big news, oh, and gas prices declining 54 days in a row. And I'm kind of kidding because, as you know, I don't actually think presidents have much to do with gas prices. But by their standards, another accomplishment. And now the really, really big news over the weekend, the Senate approving a bill to fight climate change and cut drug costs. Not insulin, unfortunately, thanks to Republicans, but we will get to that as well. But we are really racking up major accomplishments here for Joe Biden, and it couldn't come as a better time as Democrats are surging in midterm election polls. Tomorrow we will talk about, could this be one of the worst midterms for Republicans after a Democrat takes the White House? The answer is yes, it could be, but we will get to that tomorrow. Reuters reporting, the U.S. Senate Sunday passed a sweeping $430 billion bill intended to fight climate change, lower drug prices, raise some corporate taxes in a major victory for Joe Biden, which Democrats hope will help them in November. After a marathon 27-hour weekend session of debate and Republican efforts to derail the package, the Senate approved the legislation known as the Inflation Reduction Act by a 51-50 party line vote. Vice President Kamala Harris cast the tie-breaking ballot. This sends the measure to the House of Representatives for a vote probably Friday. They're expected to pass it, send it to the White House for Joe Biden's signature. The Senate is making history, said an elated Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. To Americans who have lost faith that Congress can do big things, this bill is for you. Schumer says the legislation contains the boldest clean energy package in American history to fight climate change while reducing consumer costs for energy and some medicines. The legislation is aimed at reducing carbon emissions and shifting consumers to green energy, cutting prescription drug costs for the elderly, and tightening enforcement on taxes for corporations and the wealthy. The measure pays for itself and reduces the federal deficit over time. Democrats contend it will help bring down inflation. Economists have, generally speaking, agreed with that. From the Washington Post, Senate approves Inflation Reduction Act, clinching long-delayed health and climate bill. The party line vote marks a major achievement for Democrats after more than a year of wrangling over the centerpiece of President Biden's economic agenda. This is a really, really big deal. and zoom out for a moment and think about the last 2 weeks for Joe Biden, understanding that I am giving you a public analysis, understanding, as you and I have talked about before, that not all of the things I'm about to mention directly relate to Joe Biden. We have essentially full employment right now, more than 500,000 new jobs in the latest jobs report, unemployment down to 3.5%. This is an extraordinary jobs report and unemployment situation by any measure. Ayman al-Zawahiri, major al-Qaeda terrorist, killed. Now, we might say that was illegal. OK, well, but I'm not disagreeing with that. But from the point of view of the accomplishments Biden can now claim in terms of saying reward Democrats in November, Inflation Reduction Act with major advances in a number of different areas, doing a number of good things. And by the way, expected to push down inflation, which I believe tomorrow we are getting, or no, on Wednesday, we are getting the July inflation numbers. I believe they are going to look much better, and I believe it is going to bump up the market, et cetera. And now, in addition, gas prices coming down about 20%. I mean, again, it's sort of a joke. I don't think Biden had anything to do with them going up nor coming down. But when we say it's the economy stupid and people look at certain indicators to determine are things going well or not going well, that's one of the things that they look at. Now, Fox News and right-wing media are calling this bill a social bill, spending spree, as if healthcare is some kind of frivolous pet project or a social issue when it's not, like it's going to be for gay marriage or who the hell knows what. Republicans are saying Democrats are going to pay the price for this bill. I don't believe that that's the case, but we will know in under 3 months. Now, one other thing. Diabetics should remember when it's time to vote, and really everybody should remember, that one of the amendments that Republican senators killed was a $35 cap on insulin. Senate Republicans yesterday stripped a proposed $35 a month cap on out-of-pocket spending on insulin for patients enrolled in private insurance. The Senate parliamentarian earlier ruled the provision is not primarily related to the federal budget, so it's not eligible to be passed by 50 votes. They needed 60 votes. Only 7 Republicans voted for it. So the insulin amendment failed by 3 votes. These people are disgusting. They truly are. And we will see in November who this is all good or bad for. Let's just leave it there. I want to talk a little bit about this "what is a woman" question, because it continues to be such a major issue for the American right wing. And over the weekend at CPAC, which we will cover later on in the show, the things that got the most applause were the most overtly homophobic and transphobic things. They were ridiculing pronouns. They were ridiculing so-called men and women sports, and on and on and on. And I want to talk about it because it's like the big thing that Republicans now point to as their sort of gotcha. What is a woman? You won't even define it. And I got a great email from a doctor of sociolinguistics whose name is Daniel. I don't want to say more. I want to protect his identity. I won't even say what country he teaches in. But Daniel sent me a ton of the information and the research that I'm incorporating into this story. So the situation is as follows. The right loves to say you liberals can't or won't answer the simplest question, what is a woman? So you can't be trusted with anything. You're not honest. You're pathetic. It's such a simple question. What is a woman? Just answer it. And if you won't, or if you can't, then it shows how bad faith and dishonest and radical you all on the left are. So let's start with, is it actually a simple question? Is the question, what is a woman, simple to answer? The reality is that it's not. And now separately, there are people saying, is the question even being asked in good faith by the right? And of course, it's not. They're asking it to make a political point. They're asking it to justify their pre-existing political beliefs. But let's put that aside. Is it a simple question? Defining common nouns is not actually a simple thing. Humans are terrible at defining common nouns. I'll give you an example. Define apple without looking it up. All right. Well, I mean, without looking it up, I guess I'd say, you know, it's a round fruit whose flesh we eat. And sometimes there's red, yellow or green or orangish sort of skin. And often it's crunchy, but sometimes it's more mealy. And many of them are sweet, but some of them are tart. Does that really help us identify an apple? Not really. There's all sorts of exceptions. There's many other fruits which fit that definition. So then I can say, well, an apple is Malus domestica. That's the Latin name. So when I say apple, what I mean is Malus domestica. That's just circular. That's not a usable definition. I'm not really telling you anything you can use to determine whether something you see is or isn't an apple. Now, in addition, no definition that I give you actually encompasses all the contexts where the word apple is used. The Big Apple, meaning New York City, taking a bite out of the apple as a sales and marketing term, getting some market share. So the reality is that it's not unique that with the term woman, we define it differently in different contexts. The purpose of the definition is important. What are we trying to do? And I'm going to get to that in a second. And in fact, as humans and people who speak English, we can often agree on what is an apple without a definition, with the looking at the context. So the definition itself is actually not that important. So then, as Daniel wrote to me, the same applies when we're trying to define a woman. What are we trying to do by defining woman or thinking about what a woman is? And it depends on the purpose and the context. Consider this. If the purpose of defining woman is that you are a man looking to reproduce, and you're looking for a woman with whom you can reproduce, well, in that particular case with that purpose, a trans woman with no uterus is not a good candidate for your purposes of defining a woman, right? In that context, you're talking about an individual with the female reproductive organs so that you can make a baby. On the other hand, if you're a man attracted to feminine individuals by Western standards, then for you, it might be quite plausible that any woman, meaning a trans woman or not, who has the female form that you're attracted to is completely and perfectly suited to the definition of woman. That's a different purpose. It's a different context. And this is where we end up with the bad faith Republican questions about what is a woman. They want common nouns defined so that they can either discriminate legally or so that it serves whatever political purpose they want. Now, there's a big difference between an apple and a woman. With apples, apples can't make claims about whether they are apples. There's no sociocultural element to apples. When it comes to a noun like woman, we actually do have to pay attention to who claims to be a woman, who is referred to as a woman, who is seen as a woman by society in order to build up a working understanding of what it is to be a woman in society and culture. This is all completely normal. Republicans don't care about it. They don't care about linguistics. They care only about scoring political points and putting other people down. So when they say it's so simple, you idiot leftist, just what is a woman? Just give us the definition. Well, what is the purpose of the definition? What is the context in which you were seeking it? What are you trying to then determine with the definition? This is normal stuff in sociolinguistics and in many other fields. They want to pretend like it's not. And it's as simple as just what is an apple, which, by the way, is not actually so simple. Let me know your thoughts. You can find me on Twitter at Deep Hackman. Well, we had an absolutely blockbuster jobs report last week. We have essentially full employment in the United States. We are down to 3.5% unemployment. And I have video for you of Fox News reporter Maria Bartiromo praising the jobs report, and it looks like a hostage video. We are going to get to that in a moment. First, the numbers. U.S. job growth unexpectedly soars in July. The unemployment gains far surpassed expectations show the labor market is not slowing despite efforts by the Federal Reserve to cool the economy. The U.S. employers added 528,000 jobs in July. The expectation was roughly half of that. This brings the total employment level back to its February 2020 level. Remember, the right loves to say labor force participation rate. Well, we are now back to February 2020. Remember, that was Trump at the time, participation rate. The unemployment rate is 3.5%, matching the 50-year low. We have a 50-year record low unemployment rate at this point in time. The expectation was for 250,000 new jobs in July. 528,000 were created. Now, what are the counterclaims from the American right wing? One of them is, but some people still lost their jobs in July. Yes, this happens every month. You have job creation and you have people who lose jobs, and then you have the net. Did you create more jobs than were lost or not? People are losing jobs all the time. The number of jobs lost in July was tiny. Secondly, well, what about wages? Well, wages are up as well. Third, what does Joe Biden have to do with this? Okay, you guys are already familiar with that one. So here's Maria Bartiromo. She has a business show. She can't really ignore the story. And this just feels like a hostage video. There's this famous video of, I believe it was a Vietnam POW who was filmed saying how well he was being treated. But with his eyes, he was blinking Morse code for torture. This seems like another one of these hostage videos. Take a look at this. This is Fox News and Maria Bartiromo visibly pained by having to accept. The job market's looking really good.
Headline here, this is a blockbuster report. This is much higher than anybody was expecting. 528,000 jobs created in the month of July is more than double the expectations, which called for job growth of 250,000. All areas of the economy actually saw job growth, including leisure, hospitality, the services industry, the industrial industry. That's all good news. The bad news.
But, uh-oh. How are these jobs bad for Joe Biden?
This ensures that we are going to see a Federal Reserve that stays as aggressive as ever. The markets right now are...
Now, that's not really bad news, okay? The point is, the Federal Reserve reacts to what's happening in the economy. She's sort of saying, like, the economy's so good that the Federal Reserve is going to have to keep doing the things they do when the economy is good.
Pricing in a 65% chance that the Federal Reserve raises interest rates by.
And by the way, if they're already pricing it in, it's all okay, Maria. Let's relax.
Another 75 basis points in the next meeting, which is in September. We are waiting for the Jackson Hole event, which is where Federal Reserve officials gather. That will be newsworthy in the coming weeks to find out how the Fed will deal with a jobs market.
All right. So it's funny. She uses a tone that expresses significant concern, but it's a genuinely fantastic jobs report. Now, the economy still has all the problems that it always has. We still have high inflation. We still have inequality. We still have people who have to work multiple jobs. We have all those things, but these are the standard metrics we use and have used for at least 50 years. Now, what will they do tomorrow when the new inflation report for July shows an inflation decline? That's my expectation for tomorrow or Wednesday. I forget which day the inflation report's coming out. How will they spin that as bad for Joe Biden? You know they will. All right, folks, this is beyond parody. We now have pictures of Trump's toilet with the flushed documents. It's beyond belief. You might remember that during his presidency, Donald Trump was obsessed with toilets. The only president I can remember this fixated on what we call the third element of the bathroom. Remember this viral moment with Trump and toilets?
We have a situation where we're looking very strongly at sinks and showers.
Right.
And other elements of bathrooms where you turn the faucet on in areas where there's tremendous amounts of water, where
yeah.
the water rushes out to sea because
Everywhere.
You could never handle it. And you don't get any water. You turn on the faucet, you don't get any water.
Mm-hmm.
They take a shower and water comes dripping out. It's dripping out very quietly.
Quiet water. That's not that you're not getting the water pressure you need there.
People are flushing toilets 10 times, 15 times as opposed to once.
Yeah. And when this was so bizarre. And then we learned that Donald Trump would regularly flush documents down the toilet in direct contravention to the Presidential Records Act. He would just flush them. And then I realized this is why Trump was so concerned with the third element of the bathroom. Well, Trump denied that he was doing that. And now we have the pictures. Exclusive. This is the first time on this program I have ever brought to you pictures of a toilet. But here are pictures that Axios was able to obtain. And you see a piece of paper in the toilet. It says Rogers. It says Stefanik. Elise Stefanik is a Republican congresswoman. We have it. And Axios reports, remember our toilet scoop earlier this year? Maggie Haberman's forthcoming book about Trump will report that the White House staff periodically found wads of paper clogging a toilet and believed Trump was the flusher. It turns out there are photos published for the first time. Haberman obtained the photos recently, shared them with Axios ahead of the release of her book. A Trump White House source tells her the photo on the left shows a commode in the White House. The photo on the right is from an overseas trip. Folks, Trump was using foreign plumbing to dispose of these massive dumps of notes. This is an unbelievable situation. It is 2022, and we now have toilet pictures proving that Donald Trump was indeed flushing notes down the toilet, maybe explaining why he was so displeased with the suction level of the toilets at the White House. I don't know, guy. I think I might have to retire. I genuinely don't. What is the point of me continuing to do the show after a story like this? But this is where we are. And as usual, the narrative continues to be story comes out, Trump denies it. Then there are pictures. Then there's a phone call. Then there's proof that goes above and beyond. I don't even, I feel it only diminishes the story if I say more. It sort of needs to be a presented without further comment type of thing. So I will leave it there. If you want to see the proof, make sure you're following us on Instagram at David Pakman Show. All right, let's talk about CPAC Texas 2022. It seems like every 3 weeks it's CPAC. It's actually not, but it was this weekend, the Conservative Political Action Conference. Donald Trump spoke at the event. Donald Trump brought up an anti-trans swimmer. Trump tried to kiss the woman and she rejected him. This is one of the absolute cringiest moments of the entire speech. Donald Trump calls swimmer Riley Gaines up to the stage to have her say some transphobic things. Transphobia was the most reliable applause generating theme at CPAC. When Trump tries to kiss her, she flinches and she pulls away. It is absolutely beyond parody. Let's take a look.
Crazy. It was the largest applause I've ever heard. Come on up here. Look at this. Look at this.
Wow. Trump going in for the kiss there and Riley Gaines coming in out of nowhere and completely rejecting Donald Trump. A very, very bizarre moment. Then Donald Trump again spoke about his former doctor, Ronnie Jackson, now a sort of COVID conspiracy congressman. And Trump waxed poetic about when Ronnie Jackson would look at Trump's body and be just impressed with it.
Ronnie Jackson, my doctor. Dr. Ronnie. Where's Ronnie? Where's Ronnie? Oh, he was the White House doctor. He was a great doctor. You know, he was a admiral, a doctor, and now he's a congressman. I said, which is the best? If you had your choice. And he sort of indicated doctor because he loved looking at my body. It was so strong and powerful. But he said, I'm the healthiest president that's ever lived. I was the healthiest. I said, I like this guy. I don't know who the hell he is at the time. I said, but I like.
So, yeah, I mean, this entire healthiest president thing, it's so stupid first because Ronnie Jackson didn't examine every president. Like, you know, it's totally conceivable that Teddy Roosevelt was healthier than Trump. But also Trump is very clearly not healthier than the person he followed, Barack Obama. So it's just very, very strange stuff. Trump then blamed high energy prices on the Green New Deal, which he wants abolished. The only problem is there is no Green New Deal.
Okay. To bring down energy prices, we have to abolish the Green New Deal. It's a fake. It's a fake.
Yeah, it's fake that it exists because there has been no new bill signed into law that could even remotely be called the Green New Deal. There are a few elements in what was signed the day after this speech, the Inflation Reduction Act, that overlap with some of the proposals in the Green New Deal. But I guess a non-existent bill is responsible for high gas prices around the world. Donald Trump then, I don't know if you guys have ever heard the phrase, it's a joke. The phrase is, I accidentally the whole thing. And of course, the joke is, you accidentally what the whole thing? Like there's a missing word. Trump does the exact same thing here, saying 2 years ago, we had the greatest in our nation. Unclear if it's another one of his famous neurological glitches, if he lost his train of thought, if the teleprompter glitched, who knows?
2 years ago, we had the greatest in our nation.
What on earth?
We had something that was so incredible. We had the greatest people in our nation fight.
There it is. Very, very. Trump even confused by the speech on the prompter. Not a lot of applause there. However, there was a lot of applause when Donald Trump mentioned abolishing the Department of Education. I would bet no one in the crowd has any idea what the Department of Education does.
Political material to America's school children in any form whatsoever. And if federal bureaucrats are going to push this radicalism, we should abolish the Department of Education.
Yeah. The crowd goes wild, but has absolutely no idea what's going on. Remember when liberals were supposedly going to put people in camps? Obama wanted to put people in FEMA camps and globalist. Yeah, you know, all that Alex Jones type stuff. Trump repeats his plan for literally moving homeless people forcibly into tent camps in outskirts, rural areas.
All of a sudden, that'll stop very quickly. The only way you're going to remove the homeless encampments and reclaim our downtowns is to open up large parcels, large tracts of relatively inexpensive land on the outer skirts of the various cities and bring in medical professionals, psychiatrists, psychologists, and drug rehab specialists and create tent cities. You have to have it. They have tents right now. They're living in tents with holes in them. You don't have time to build buildings. You can do that later, but you have to get the people off the street. We have to bring back, we have to reclaim our cities. And now you'll have
people. There it is, officially saying we will put them in a tent camp and that'll be it. Donald Trump then apparently confused about the fact that unemployment is literally at a 50-year low. And the latest jobs report saw twice as many jobs as expected created. Donald Trump saying the job situation is really bad.
In American history, that's why we had the job numbers. And don't forget, you have not good job numbers right now. They're not counting all of the millions of people that aren't working. Hmm. If you looked at the real numbers, that 3.5 would be double that. Maybe some people say triple that.
Right. Of course, that's always been the case. People who are not looking for work and are not working are not part of the unemployment rate. That was the case under Donald Trump when Donald Trump bragged about the low unemployment rate. These people are morons, but the bigger morons are the people in the audience who fall for these stupid talking points. This has always been the case. Donald Trump then also said some friend of his paid $8 a gallon for gas. Dubious because Trump claims to have a friend. That's really the part that's not believable.
Have it now at $5, $6, $7. A friend of mine from California called me this morning. He just paid $8.55, he told me, California, and you'll follow.
Yeah. Now, the truth is, of course, that gas prices have been declining dramatically. Now, more than 20% have gone from over $5 a gallon to $4 a gallon. 54 consecutive days of gas price declines. And even if you look at California, California certainly higher than the rest of the country at $5.44 per gallon. So continued lies from Donald Trump at CPAC. Let's now go to our interviews at CPAC. So CPAC Texas 2022, our correspondent Luke Beasley was down there speaking to people. And it is absolutely extraordinary. Now, you can find Luke's YouTube channel at davidpakman.com/Luke. To our podcast listeners, you can also find Luke's audio podcast anywhere that you are listening. I'm just going to present these to you without too much introduction. Just a lot of visible confusion. People who don't understand anything. People who don't know anything. Let's take a look.
And what do you think the biggest failures of the Biden administration have been? Oh gosh, a lot. Well,
these pauses have not been extended for effect, just so everybody knows.
He says that he has done things when he hasn't, such as contributed to border security. I think for one thing, you know, our president is Biden, but I, you know, there are other people who are actually running our country, not him.
Now, I would, at this point, I would love to say who.
And I think that a big thing, he said when he was running that he wouldn't defund the police, and he's done that.
Joe Biden has not defunded the police.
And I think that's a huge reason why we see so much crime today. I think that
Biden has defunded the police? Where?
Well, I mean, he hasn't defunded them, but he's defunded.
Oh, so the thing you just said isn't true. Got it.
Defunded a lot of the police.
He hasn't defunded the police. He's defunded a lot of the police. Nope, also not true.
And
because that is done on a citywide level, not the national
level.
That's
true. That's true. That's true. But I mean, overall, I think that this is the scariest times that we have lived in.
All right. Well, the one thing I mentioned, you're right. It's not true, but it's very, very scary right now, regardless. Then Luke interviewed, you know, another guy. Let's listen.
Who was a standout so far in speakers?
I enjoyed quite a few of the speakers. So, you know, I mean, Ted Cruz was certainly animated.
Yep. We'll get to Ted Cruz in a moment.
Some of the speakers I didn't actually know, but, you know, a lot of good information, you know, those types of things.
Really learned a lot.
And obviously Trump is about to speak this evening. On that topic, do you want him to run in 2024?
I would expect him to run, you know, whether it's Trump or DeSantis, you know, somebody that cares about our country is, yep. is definitely.
You can tell Trump deeply cares about the future of the country. That's his top priority in all things that he does.
Needed. You know, Trump has stood in front of the buzzsaw that's been hitting our country. So we do owe him our respects for that. And
he survived Nancy Pelosi's buzzsaw.
Gratitude, you know, if he's going to continue doing it and wins the nomination, I'll certainly support him.
Yeah. So, I mean, kind of lukewarm in a sense, support for Trump. This next one, I'm not going to play the whole thing because it goes nowhere, but it really just shows you, like, these people just have no idea what's going on. I don't understand how they can even work a normal job and not get fired.
And who have been some standout speakers from your perspective?
Lauren Boebert. I don't know if I'm saying the congresswoman. Obviously, I love Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Obviously.
Nigel Farage, obviously. He's always great. He's always a great asset to CPAC, getting the British voice in there, the British conservative voice.
So you mentioned that you enjoyed Marjorie Taylor Greene and you like her. Nail down for me, because it just always baffles me. What is it that resonates with conservatives about Marjorie Taylor Greene?
I think that she just is not afraid of speaking the truth and not afraid of being politically, quote unquote, incorrect.
Marjorie Taylor Greene is one of the biggest liars out there. She invented the idea that there's a Jewish space laser out there. She tells lies about vaccines. She tells lies about masks. She tells lies about Joe Biden. She tells lies about communism. She tells lies about everything.
What she says is right.
I mean,
do I agree with every single thing? Nobody's black and white. Everybody has areas of gray in life. Life is gray. But I do think that her courage, and most Republicans, I hate to say this, but most Republicans who've been in the fold for all these decades and decades in politics, they kind of just tout the same thing and they're full of bullshit. No, on my life, say bullshit. They're full of they're just sitting on their, you know, in their golden parachute.
They're sitting in the golden parachute, which is really incredible. All right. So anyway, she kind of fumbled around for 4 minutes. Then Luke spoke to a younger guy and it was just as bad.
Okay, so we're outside CPAC, and you're about to walk in. Who are you hoping to see, or who are you most excited for?
I am excited to see Trump, for one. For two, I also am excited to see Steve Bannon.
Steve Bannon?
Steve Bannon.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, since you brought him up, Steve Bannon was pardoned by Trump, right? What he was pardoned for was defrauding, donors, because he was saying, I'm building a border wall, and he wasn't actually doing that. He was spending on all like personal stuff. That's why Trump had to pardon him. I don't understand, because there's so many people within the conservative movement that I understand why you'd support them. They believe your things, but they like directly defrauded the people that they now are hoping to support them. Like, how do you forgive Steve Bannon for that?
You know, I still just listen to his podcast. So
yeah, I mean, on his podcast, he didn't mention defrauding people.
This is my mother, and I just really like the way he speaks about issues, and I think he brings up good points regarding politics, for one.
Generally, based on what you've heard from the January 6th committee, what is your sense of it, and do any of those facts make you less positive towards Trump?
Well, actually, my mother attended the January 6th, and it's bad. People are still locked up over it. my family actually got investigated by the FBI for that.
Oh, God.
And they were just attending. They had nothing to do with...
They were completely innocent.
...going into the Capitol.
Right. So anyway, there's a guy whose family went to the riots. And then here's one more guy who also... The people just seem perplexed.
So I hear most people feel like even a lot of liberals blame Biden for gas prices going high up. Now we've seen 2 months of pretty historically fast drops in gas prices. Do you feel like it's something you should give Biden credit for, watching them drop?
No.
Biden's responsible for gas prices going up. He's not responsible for gas prices coming down.
No, I do not. I feel like he's using our reserves using our reserves to drop the gas prices and to... trying to find the word here to...
Yeah. Now, gas prices have come down globally, and so that wouldn't be because of Joe Biden. And also, the reserves really can only, by most estimates, cause a drop of somewhere between 12 and 20 cents a gallon. We're now down over a dollar. So not possible that this is the explanation.
Basically, fluctuate them just for a short period of time, then I think they'll end up rising right back up to where they were.
Have you kept up at all with the January 6th committee hearings and kind of looking into what led because you think it's kind of stupid or what?
Yeah. I just really don't see too much of a point in it, and that's it.
So riddle me this, okay? If you're on the left and you feel like Biden won the election, that's what the courts figured out, that's what kind of our official processes certified. And then you see through these investigations that Trump was doing everything possible to try to subvert what we would consider the rightful will of the people based on the election results and overturn the election. Don't you find it pretty reasonable that that would be super scary? And regardless of even if you were conservative, you'd expect people to be against a president who tried to reject the election?
Not necessarily.
No, I wouldn't necessarily be against that.
With all of the stuff behind all the election fraud, I feel like I think he has every right to say that it was not a fair election.
Even though all the court cases didn't find that?
Yes, I do.
You think it?
I think it's a little bit corrupt, and I think our government's a little bit corrupt, and I think
it's a little bit corrupt. Covered
it up really well.
Yeah. Even those Trump-appointed judges covered it up, which is really, really crazy. So, unfortunately, more of the same. And remember, everybody is allowed to vote in the United States, and at least some of these people vote, presumably. So scary stuff. And nice job there by Luke Beasley. You can find his YouTube channel at davidpakman.com/Luke. Make sure you're subscribed. All right. Before we move off of CPAC for the day, just a couple other little highlights from other speakers at CPAC Texas 2022. Of course, Mike Pillow, MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, continues to be obsessed with machines. You guys remember his obsession with machines.
We're doing a class action lawsuit against all machines.
He made the principled and defiant and scary announcement at CPAC that 54 countries have now been taken by the machines.
And this is very important you hear me on this. Over 54 countries have now been taken by the machines or are getting taken by the machines.
Yeah.
And you never get to go back. Venezuela, Australia, they're gone.
Australia does not use voting machines, by the way.
Don't get to vote out the machines once they're there. Once they're there, you don't get your country back.
So as you can imagine, obviously I now have that on my soundboard as well.
Over 54 countries have now been taken by the machines.
Yep. Here's Ted Cruz, Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz. He now has this pronoun quip that he uses at every opportunity, and the crowd loves it, but he just sounds so dumb.
Well, my name is Ted Cruz, and my pronouns are kiss my ass.
Whoa. That counts as clever and interesting for the American right. Here is Rick Scott. Rick Scott, who's a Republican senator of Florida. I challenge you to follow what the hell Rick Scott is talking about here. This is bonkers stuff.
Everyone will obey and no one will be allowed to complain. If you do speak up, boom, you're going to be canceled.
Canceled.
Your views, if you don't conform with Big Tech, Fauci or Neil Young, you're going to be taken off Spotify, YouTube, Facebook and Twitter.
Yep. In fact, I expressed displeasure at two Neil Young songs and we're about to lose our YouTube channel. It's crazy out there.
The militant left in America are the modern day version of book burners.
No. He was expecting more applause on that one. Did you see that he does this pause and you can tell he's expecting more applause. And when it doesn't come, he just waits.
Modern day version of book burners.
Yeah. That's right, says one guy.
Canceling, silence, and banning from the internet is book burning. These are the most narrow-minded, intolerant people our country has ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Really struggling with the applause lines. And I also didn't realize Rick Scott's diction was so poor. Like, I didn't realize he was this bad of a speaker.
They are completely ignorant of both world history and American history. Socialism leads to two things, poverty and oppression.
There's no socialism here. I mean, that may or may not be true, but the U.S. isn't a socialist country. Biden's not a socialist. Democrats are not socialists.
Socialism is not a new idea. It's one of the dumbest, oldest, most discredited ideas of the 20th century that resulted in the deaths of 100 million people. Yet these Democrats, who have no idea how the real world works, are acting like they just invented socialism.
Yeah. So just an electric speaker, Rick Scott, impossible to follow. And then lastly, here is Marjorie Taylor Greene. Again, saying Christian nationalism is a great thing.
But when I said that I'm a Christian nationalist, I have nothing to be ashamed of, because that's what most Americans are. We're proud of our faith.
Yeah, very untrue. Many Americans are nominally Christian, but Christian nationalism, meaning this inextricable, intertwined nature of Christianity and government, most Americans are not for that. Marjorie Taylor Greene is just flat out wrong. So an absurd, absurd CPAC Texas 2022. We'll take a quick break and be back after this with the results of the Alex Jones trial. Well, we have a verdict in the defamation trial of InfoWars conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, and it is $49 million. Now, how much of it can actually be awarded per Texas statutes is a separate question. How much of it can or will be collected by the plaintiffs is another question, but this is the verdict regardless. Let's take a look at the moment that the judge read it out. Remember that there were $4 million in compensatory damages, and then we now get another $45 million in punitive damages, totaling nearly just over $49 million.
Question number one, $4,200,000. Question number two, $20,500,000. Question number three, $20,500,000. All right. This question is addressed to my jury. Is this your verdict? So say each and all of you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Would the attorneys like to examine the verdict?
So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Alex Jones, 49.3 million-dollar verdict, as the Los Angeles Times accurately points out. And one of the things that Michael Cizak from the Associated Press writes about is, what does this mean for the larger misinformation ecosystem, a social media-fueled world of election denial, COVID skepticism, and other dubious claims that Alex Jones helped to build? Now, there are many who are saying this is a defeat for so-called free speech. But as I know many of you are aware, there is not, how can we put this? I am aware that even though I have my show and I have my microphone, and in a literal sense, I can say whatever I want, I can't just say anything and expect to be free from the consequences of that. If I were to start targeting a private citizen, imagine that I had, let's take the Eggman, for example, our great caller, the Eggman, who has been calling in and listening for over a decade. Imagine that I started giving out the Eggman's real name and saying things about him and making all of these claims specifically about him. He's just a private person who sometimes calls in and doesn't even identify himself by his real name. And it starts causing him problems at his job and in his life and whatever. I would not expect that if he sues me for defamation or doxing or whatever else, that I could just say it's free speech and that's it. It would be absurd for me to think that that would be a valid defense. Now, maybe the things I say are or aren't defamatory. That's a very specific question. And part of it is whether they are true. But there are limits to what I can do with my platform. I have a responsibility on the platform not to do that. And so, sure, when I go after Roger Stone, as we're about to do, a public person for things he publicly says, that's one thing. But when you start saying the victims of a mass shooting were actors, they didn't really die, the parents are in on it, here are specific parents who are in on it, that is not free speech. And it is not even with new law. Under the existing infrastructure of defamation law and other law, you're not allowed to do that. So this is not about free speech. And there is a question as to whether the doxers and the bullies and all of them who do this for a living are now potentially going to be in jeopardy because of the same legal infrastructure. Nothing new. No new law has been created because of the same legal infrastructure that may bring down Alex Jones. It's a real question. We don't yet know the answer. One other little thing here on the Alex Jones verdict. Roger Stone started desperately pleading for money for Alex Jones after the $49 million verdict. This was actually within minutes. Roger Stone went on InfoWars to make an urgent plea. Send Alex Jones money. He needs the money or this verdict may sink InfoWars. Here's Roger Stone.
Alex Jones is a good and decent man. He's a God-fearing Christian. He's done more for this movement than perhaps anyone you can name. And right now, he needs our support. There's a place at the InfoWars store where you can go just to make a contribution. If you're not in the market for a book or one of his great products, there's a link where you can just send a.
Yeah, you can just send money, folks. It's that simple. So listen, at some point, there has to be some kind of buyer beware thing. OK, we talked about this in the context of, after the 2020 election, Donald Trump started asking for money, and he claimed that the reason he was asking for money was that he was going to fund audits and he was going to overturn results and file lawsuits and all these different things. And it actually said in the fine print, hey, you know, 50 cents on the dollar, or in some cases even more than that, actually goes to paying off Trump campaign debt or into the coffers or however, whatever the language was that they were using there. And then people donated, and there was one rich guy who donated. I don't remember if it was $200,000 or $2 million. And then he sued and he wanted the money back. He said he got scammed. And I don't even know what the outcome of the case was. At this point, if after all this, you go and you donate to Alex Jones now, at some point, you've got to be SOL, right? S out of luck, if you understand what I'm saying. At some point, I mean, if you even just go to his website and you see the stuff that's being sold, seed centers and survival accessories and various brain food and strange stuff. At a certain point, when you see that legally the stuff Alex Jones says is wrong and defamatory, even if you believe the system is against him or whatever, wouldn't you have to be smart enough to realize that if that's the case, maybe it doesn't make sense for you to be donating money? Maybe you don't have to be part of the cause of paying this $49 million settlement. Now, the other thing I think that bears repeating is the following. In Texas, there are limits to damages. And so the award may get dramatically reduced. Imagine if the award gets reduced to $5 million and Alex Jones raises $20 because people think he really has to pay $49 million, and then he just keeps the cat. I mean, it's not when your fan base is the people in the Alex Jones fan base. It's not completely beyond me that Alex Jones might be able to turn this into a money making endeavor. I'm not saying I'm confident that will happen, but it's not completely inconceivable. Unbelievable stuff. We all have a responsibility when we're on the air. And I actually think about what I'm saying. And when I make a mistake, I make every effort to correct it. And I don't target private citizens and all these different things. There have to be some limits. And it seems as though Alex Jones has come up against those limits. We have a voicemail number. That number is 2192-DAVID-P. Here's kind of a weird question about my plastic surgery background. Take a listen to this.
Hi, David. So you're like a media TV type person. So okay. I assume you've had a nose job. I'm thinking about getting a nose job as well. I have some issues with breathing. I have nasal valve collapse.
Okay.
It doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes at night I can't breathe out of my left nostril. That typically happens. I'm just wondering, like, what your opinions are on a functional surgery like that, just to fix the nasal collapse. Like, should I do that? Or the other thing is, I'm like way overweight. So like, if I lose weight, I might not have the same issues. And then I've heard about like mewing. You can do like exercises to.
Oh my God. Okay. So there's a lot going on there. Listen, you've got to talk to an otolaryngologist, also known as an ear, nose, and throat doctor. I have not had a nose job. Listen, if I went and got a nose job, do you think this is the nose I'd be asking for? That does not seem appropriate. No, I have not had a nose job. Maybe you have a deviated septum. Who knows? But my specialty is podiatry, not ENT stuff. So you've actually got to go and talk to a doctor. I don't know how much of this voicemail is serious, but I know many people who have had corrective nose surgeries. Mostly deviated septums. It was quite a recovery. Took several weeks, if not into a couple of months. And yes, I am aware that sometimes people who have a deviated septum will say, you know what? I think I'm actually going to get a nose job, and the plastic surgeon can correct the deviated septum while they're in there. Might as well do both at once. But that is not medical advice. I'm not Bill O'Reilly, okay? I don't have a concierge service where I give you all sorts of advice. We have a fantastic bonus show today.
Oh, the bonus show where you want to make money, but everybody else that makes money to fund themselves is bad.
You know, I can think of no greater endorsement of the bonus show than the fact that Alex Jones really doesn't like it. Indiana lawmakers have approved the first state abortion ban since Roe v. Wade was overturned. It's happening. It's happening. U.S. automakers say that 70% of electric vehicle models would not qualify for the tax credit currently in the Senate bill. Why not? I will explain. And thirdly, New Zealand is considering changing its name to confront its troubled colonial past. Have they gone woke? We will talk about it on today's bonus show. You can sign up at joinpacman.com and get instant access. The normal prices for membership are really low. And listen, so many of us spend $40, $80, $120, $200. If you add up internet service, Netflix, some people have cable, some people have Hulu, Discovery Plus, Paramount Plus, Apple TV, all these different things. Some people spend over $200. With the coupon code Obamna, you can get a membership for $2 a month. And you're really supporting us directly. If you have a cable subscription, something like $4 a month goes to Fox News. You might hate Fox News. Okay. With the memberships on our website, from every dollar, we get 98 cents. The other 2 cents just goes to processing the payments. Okay. Joinpacman.com. Very cheap, great perks. And you are really, you are sure, you are confident that the money is actually going where you are being told it is going, which is into producing shows and more content. Speaking of more content, soon I will tell you about the new personal finance channel that we are launching, which I think is going to be absolutely tremendous, folks. All right, see you on the bonus show.
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all RDJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
RCT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1949.
RCT, the in sound from way out.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Technoland? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh, right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet, because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
Hello, my fellow Americans. I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sound of what we call, jazz.
Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-syllable word.
DJ Haim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
Depose from the Faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now! In an unprecedented move, the FBI has executed a search warrant on former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida. The raid is reportedly tied to a federal probe into Trump's unlawful removal of documents from the White House. We'll get the latest. Then we look at the Senate's sweeping $739 billion bill to address the climate crisis, reduce drug costs, and establish a 15% minimum tax for large corporations.
The Senate has now passed the most significant bill to fight the climate crisis ever. And it's going to make a difference to my grandkids. The world will be a better place for my grandchildren because of what we did today. And that makes me feel very, very good.
We'll speak to Rob Weissman of Public Citizen, Indigenous land defender Tara Hauska, and Bishop William Barber. We'll also speak to the bishop about why he wants to go to Russia to help free basketball superstar Brittany Griner. And we'll look at the trial of far-right conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, who's been ordered to pay $49 million to the parents of a Sandy Hook massacre victim. We'll speak with Elizabeth Williamson, author of the book Sandy Hook, An American Tragedy and the Battle for Truth. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The FBI seized documents from Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort and home in Florida. On Monday evening, Trump issued a statement saying, quote, "My beautiful home, Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida, is currently under siege, raided and occupied by a large group of FBI agents. They even broke into my safe," he said. Trump was in New York at the time. Multiple news outlets are reporting the FBI executed a search warrant as part of a probe into whether Trump removed 15 boxes of White House records, including some classified documents, after he left office. Such a move might constitute a criminal violation of the Presidential Records Act. In response, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy threatened to investigate Attorney General Merrick Garland if Republicans win back control of the House after the midterm elections. This all comes as Donald Trump is facing multiple other investigations over his attempt to overturn the 2020 election. After headlines, we'll get the latest with Rob Weissman, president of Public Citizen. The head of Ukraine's state-run nuclear power company is calling on Russia and Ukraine to adopt a 5-kilometer-wide demilitarized zone around the Zaporizhia nuclear plant after fighting over the weekend damaged safety equipment at the Russian-occupied site. Petro Khotin said Monday Russia's military had turned Zaporizhia into a base used to attack Ukrainian positions and was threatening a disaster that could spread radiation across the globe.
The situation is very dangerous. We encountered such situation at Chernobyl nuclear power plant, if you remember, but there is a very big difference here. There are 6 power units. All of them are filled with nuclear materials. Also, there are pools with spent nuclear fuel. All of this requires constant cooling at the expense of working pumps. These pumps run on electricity.
Ukrainian officials have accused Russia of placing explosive landmines around the power units at Zaporizhzhia in what President Volodymyr Zelensky called nuclear blackmail. Elsewhere, Ukraine's military says its forces are advancing on the strategic city of Izium in northeastern Ukraine as part of a counteroffensive aimed at retaking areas under Russian occupation. Meanwhile, the Biden administration said Monday it's sending another billion